turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're continuing our expositional series through the book of Exodus and specifically looking at the Ten Commandments. This afternoon, we'll look once more at the fifth commandment found in verse 12. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Praise God for His word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your law that's good, holy, and righteous, and it's perfect. Father, I pray that You teach us, instruct us by Your law, lead us to Christ, cause us to model this before one another in honor of You. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So the fifth commandment. We looked at last week how the fifth commandment is the first commandment of God's second table of His law. Last time we were together, I argued that the fifth commandment is foundational to the entire second table of God's law. If you remember, the second table of God's law, commandments 5 through 10, they're all about loving your neighbor. Therefore, the foundation of loving your neighbor is actually honoring your father and your mother. Loving your neighbor starts at home. Your first neighbor, so to speak, is your family, your parents. You can say all day that you love your neighbor. You can post on social media about loving others. But if you dishonor your parents, if you break the fifth commandment, you probably are not honoring other people in your life either. Now, this is part two in our study of the fifth commandment. Last time we introduced the commandment by unpacking the meaning of it, applying it to the relationship between dependent young children and parents. And we looked at this command here is to honor your father and your mother. Honor literally meaning weighty or heavy. Therefore, this command here in the fifth commandment is to give weight to what someone has said. We are to honor, to recognize their God-given authority. To honor means to respect, to revere, to esteem, to value. The opposite of honor is to dishonor, which is forbidden in this command. To dishonor your parents means to treat them lightly, to treat their words as insignificant, to treat them as insignificant. And we saw last week that for children, for dependent children, the way to honor your parents, the way to honor your mother and father is to obey them. We specifically looked at the divine commentary on the fifth commandment from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3 of how he applies this command to young children as to honor your parents means to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, the goal for this afternoon is to continue to apply this command in different stages of life. Again, we've already looked at its application to young dependent children. But what about how does this command apply to independent adult children? Let's say as a 25 or 40 year old. How are you to honor your parents as a 25 or 40 year old? Or as a 60 or 70 year old? How are you to honor your aging parents? Those are the right questions to be asking when we look at the fifth commandment. Because some people don't even ask those questions. Right? They may say the fifth commandment, it's only for young children and their parents. After you grow up and you're out of the house and you have your own family, the fifth commandment no longer applies. You may have thought that at one time. But here's the deal. The fifth commandment doesn't just apply to you from birth to 18. Then you're free to treat your parents however you like after you leave the home. No, that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what the fifth commandment is in its teaching and its commanding. Think about the other commandments. We do not put time limits or boundaries on the other commands, do we? Is there a time when you can stop murdering? Well, some believe you can start murdering in the womb, but must stop after birth. No. Is there a time when you can stop being faithful to your spouse, or a time where you can stop where stealing is okay? No, we don't treat any of the other commands this way with a time limit on them. Therefore, we should not place this foreign interpretation upon the application of the fifth commandment either. So the fifth commandment is binding for all times, for all people, even for adult children who move out of the family's home. And if the fifth commandment is still in application, still binding on independent adult children today, then how does that actually look? How is it applied? How does it look to honor your father and mother as an adult? Let's first look at the application of the fifth commandment when it comes to independent adult children in general. And then next, the second part of today's sermon, we'll look at how it specifically applies to independent adult children with aging parents. So look at adult children in general, and then when it comes to aging parents as well. All right, let's look at this command once more. Verse 12. What's the action commanded? It's honor. Is there any other actions commanded in this command? In Exodus 20:12? No. It's only honor. Is obey commanded in the fifth commandment? Yes, well, it's not explicit, but there is an application of it. But if you read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother. That's the one command we have here, is to honor. Now, we saw obedience was a practical application of this command for young children, for dependent children. However, the enduring command of the fifth commandment is honor. I believe the command to honor one's parents will look at will look different at different stages of life. The command remains the same for every stage of life. The fifth commandment does not change, but its application changes throughout each stage of our lives. We are always to honor our parents. However, honoring our parents will look different at different stages of life. For example, the way a 3-year-old honors their father and mother will look different from how a 30-year-old adult honors their father and mother. And that will look different from a 60-year-old or 70-year-old honoring their father or mother. Now remember, to honor is to respect, to revere, to give weight to a person, to give weight to what they say. As young, independent children, you do this by obedience to their commands. However, I do not believe that obedience is required. The Bible doesn't speak about obedience being required for adult children to honor their parents. And it should not be expected by parents of adult children either. For living that way will only lead to disappointment to the parents. And it will be frustration. It will lead to stunt growth. It will stunt growth with adult children. It's simply just untenable. It's not how it should be. And that's important. If obedience is not commanded for independent grown children of their parents, then the child should not feel shame or guilt if they do something different from what their parents desired. For doing so is not inherently sinful. No need for shame or guilt. In addition, parents should not feel dishonored or disrespected if grown children make decisions against their wishes. There's no sin committed inherently in that situation. Therefore, neither party should feel or act as if there was a sin. Now, we must make these distinctions in our lives, right? We should only repent and feel guilty and have sorrow over sins we actually commit. That's important. Now, I mentioned this. Does this mean that parents' counsel does not matter? No. As we'll look at, it actually does matter when we think about honoring them. It just means that the parent's counsel to that of an independent adult child is not a command that must be obeyed. However, a parent's counsel is important, though. For a child must honor their father and mother. And what was honor? It means to give weight to what they say. If you are disregarding your parent's counsel, even as an adult child, if you're never asking for it, if you're treating their counsel lightly, then you are, in fact, breaking the fifth commandment. You're not honoring your father and mother. You would be in sin there. You'd be dishonoring and disrespecting your parents by treating them with contempt and in a flippant and light manner. The fifth commandment commands us to do otherwise. So those who are adult children here, honor your parents. Honor them by asking and truly considering their counsel. That's not only biblical, it's not only keeping the fifth commandment, but it's also wise. It's pride that keeps us from doing so. Just because you're grown and independent doesn't mean you know better than your parents. Right? We tell that to little children that, hey, your parents know better than you. Sometimes our older parents as adults know better than us as well. We don't know all things. They have years of life experience and wisdom that we can learn from. Now, I want to encourage you to talk with your parents regularly, right? Soak up all that they have to tell you and to teach you as you think of honoring them. These are just practical ways of honoring them. If you have parents today who are alive, that means they lived much longer than you have, right? And they have this storehouse of knowledge in which you can take advantage of. Think about it. When it comes to big decisions in life, seeking counsel from your parents would be honoring them. Right? For example, when it comes to who to marry, to choose a spouse, ask your parents for counsel in those matters. Right? They know you better than anybody else. They have life experience and wisdom to share. Or when it comes to life decisions as education, job pursuits, financial decisions, parenting decisions, spiritual decisions, just to name a few, you can honor your parents by reaching out to them to hear their advice and their counsel. God gave you your parents for a particular reason. They're your parents. Trust God's sovereignty in placing your parents before you. Trust His sovereignty in this matter and take full advantage of their insights. That's one way you can honor them, and it's a blessing for you. So be thankful for your parents. It's not just following this command, but out of your heart being thankful that the Lord's given you your parents, sovereignly given them over you. Treat what they say in a weighty manner, right? Now again, with that said, you can treat someone's counsel in a weighty manner and not heed it. But don't do it in a flippant way. You should have good reasons when you go against counsel. And in those matters of disagreement, do so with respect to your parents. Disagree respectfully. Treat them as you would like to be treated. Honor them. Even if you don't take their advice, honor them. Now, parents of adult children, those who are here who have adult children, do not be offended when your children do not follow your counsel. Instead, be thankful that they respect you and value your counsel to ask for it. Right? The goal of raising our children is not to raise them into our goal is to raise them into adults that make their own decisions. Right? You wouldn't want an adult child that depends on you like a 10-year-old child. That means they would not be growing to full maturity. It's a sign of maturity when an adult child makes decisions for themselves, makes decisions for their own families. The goal is to have independent children, right? Not dependent children as adults for their whole lives. So help shepherd them to that. And also, parents, your children will always be your children. Always, right? No matter how old they are, they will be your baby, so to speak. They will always be your children. It's not like once they leave the house, they are on their own and they are never to bother you again. Right, that's not how we should think as parents of children. You just wait until they move out of the house and then you're done with them. No, you're always their parents. You're always there for them. Make sure you make yourself available to parent them through those different stages of life. Your parenting duty does not stop at age 18 and when they're out of the house. And this is one aspect. Again, this entire sermon is really just going to be application of how this looks in the life, how to honor your parents as adult children. One way I think of it this way is where the aspect of the biblical concept of friendship comes to play. A way you honor your parent and the way a parent, how you honor your parent as an adult child, one of those ways is through friendship. You think about your relationship now with your parents, it's no longer superior to inferior. It's really more like equals than before, where it was a parent who was superior to an independent or to a dependent child who's inferior. Now it's more like equals. And friendship here is key. The adult child doesn't come to the parent out of duty anymore, but out of delight, respect of the wisdom of their parents. The parents no longer issue commands to their adult children, but offer counsel as a faithful friend. Therefore, parents and adult children, I would just encourage you to cultivate that friendship with one another. Adult children, this environment of friendship will produce an honoring spirit to your parents. and parents. By cultivating this friendship, it will lead your children to desire to honor you as well. Now, what are key aspects of a friendship? Well, it's trust, love, being there for one another. Now, for those who are adult children who are married, the command to leave and to cleave is a real one. Right? You are to leave your parents and to cleave to one another. However, that doesn't mean you stop your relationship with your parents as a whole. It just means that relationship with your parents is now going to change. It's going to develop more into a friendship with them. In addition to asking for counsel from your parents, there are many other ways to honor your parents. The list can really be unlimited. That could be one thing you discuss today. If you have time today to discuss with others from the church about the sermon or around the dinner table, maybe think of ways to honor parents as adult children. That could be something you could work through or think about or discuss with others. Now, I want to give three more. I mentioned receiving counsel, giving weight to what they say. But I want to give three more practical ways in which adult children can honor their parents. First, you honor them by speaking of them publicly in a respectful manner. That's one practical application of honoring your parents as adult children. You do so by speaking publicly about them in a respectful manner. One way to honor someone is the way in which we speak about them, right? And specifically, publicly. You dishonor someone when you speak degrading of them publicly to others, right? We shouldn't do this to anyone, but especially our parents. Sadly, we live in an age where disrespect of parents is, that sort of speech is encouraged and it's laughed at. It's a part of the jokes that happen. And I think of the popular phrase recently, if you've heard it, the phrase, okay, boomer. And if you've heard that phrase, and it's really the origin of that phrase, is a legitimate disrespect for parents. That's where the phrase originates. It's to disregard their counsel. It's a pejorative to put down older people, and specifically older parents. This sort of speech should not come from the mouth of a Christian. I can't think of a time with the time we live in that has more childhood angst than any before. Everyone is quick and ready to disparage their parents on how much their parents messed up, right? Now, that's not Christianly. This is not honoring of one's parents. Now, there's nothing wrong with real discussions surrounding past experiences and receiving counsel on those things. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about parent bashing, right? For no real goal in mind or purpose other than to make yourself feel better and to put down your parents. Now, that's not right. Let's honor our parents. And the way we honor our parents is speaking respectfully about them in public to others. Second, let's not only honor our parents in our speech publicly, let's honor our parents in speech privately as well. We don't want to praise them publicly and then berate them in private. That would not be keeping the fifth commandment. We are to show them honor with our speech at all times, publicly and privately. Let me remind you of what God's word says about how we are to speak to others as Christians. And this applies to the way we speak to our parents. Ephesians 4:29. Think of this. Is this the way you speak to your parents as an adult? Really, as any, you can be a young child or adult child, but specifically as an adult child. Do you speak this way? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that may give grace to those who hear. Or Ephesians 5:4, do you speak to your parents this way? Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Colossians 4:6, do you speak to your parents this way? Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer to each person. Matthew 15:11 tells us this. It's not what goes into a mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This is what defiles a person. And the book of James is just replete with commands concerning our speech. For example, James 3:9 through 10 said, with our mouths, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and curses. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Our parents are image bearers. Right? We are to bless them with our speech, not curse them. The book of Proverbs is just filled with wisdom for godly speech. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2. The soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Now, I could go on, but hopefully you get the picture, right? We are to honor our parents in the way we speak to them. We are to speak godly to all people. But one way we do it with our parents, one way we honor our parents is speaking godly to them as well. Our speech is a great indicator of our hearts towards our parents and whether or not we honor them, right? Whether or not we keep the fifth commandment. I mean, like Matthew said, from our mouths comes, it's the fruit of our hearts. And if we speak in ways that are disparaging our parents and speak in sinful ways about our parents, that just shows where our heart is. And our heart is breaking the fifth commandment. It's not honoring our parents. Right? Another aspect of our speech in honoring our parents is that of affirmation. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're an adult child here today, to affirm the good things your parents have done for you as a child or even as an adult. Now, I don't know everyone's situation in here. Everyone's situation is different. However, I would probably go out on a limb and say that no one's parents in here did everything wrong completely. Right? There might be one out there, but I would say most have not done that. And instead of focusing on the things in which you wish your parents would have done, focus and affirm your parents on the things they did right and the things that you appreciate that they did right. Tell them to their face how much you appreciate them. Thank them for the things they did right and the way that, what because of their parenting, it blessed you and impacted you. I mean, what a way to honor your parents than by thanking them. Calling them up today, if they don't live nearby, calling them and say, thank you for doing this or that. Now, don't make up lies. Don't give any false flattery. That would be breaking another commandment. But give truthful ways in which your parents have blessed you. Seek to be an encouragement to them. You think about your parents all throughout their childhood, they served you and ministered to you. Now that you're an adult, it's time for you to serve them and minister to them. View your parents, your older parents as adults, view them as ones to be ministered to. They've taken care of you for however long. It's time to pay it back, so to speak, to minister and serve them. Lastly, I would encourage you to honor your parents by spending time with them. Right? If they are far away, try to do so by calling them. If they're close, get together, catch up. Give weight to them. And one way you give weight to them is by being able to be around them to hear what they say. Value their time. Value their conversations. Again, you will not have your parents forever around. Now, I've never met someone who has lost a parent and said they regret all the time they spent with that parent. I've never heard that. Just never heard it. Usually the case is after a parent passes away and you talk to the person, the child who's lost a parent, what do they say? What's their regret every time? Man, I wish I would have had more conversations. I wish I would have talked about this or that with my mother or my father before they passed. They wish they would have had this conversation or that conversation. If your parents are alive right now, talk with them. Call them up. This is a way you can honor them and keep the fifth commandment. All right, so that's just a general application of honoring your parents as adult children. Next, I want to look at how this fifth commandment applies to honoring your parents if you have aging parents. I mean, I guess all parents are aging, but on the upper echelon of aging. Those parents who are nearing the end of their life here on earth. Because one application of the fifth commandment of honoring your parents is to care for them physically as they age. Now, you may be saying, okay, Pastor, you're really stretching the application of the fifth commandment. Is that really what's being taught here? All it says is honor, and now you're saying you physically take care of your aging parents? That's some sort of subjective stretch. You're really reading into this command. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I get this application straight from Jesus, from the fifth commandment. Okay, Brother Paul read it for us earlier. This is Jesus gives a divine commentary on the fifth commandment in Matthew chapter 15. Now, we've actually looked at this passage as we went through the Gospel of Mark. I believe it was Mark chapter 7. But I want us to look at it again in light of the fifth commandment and see how it instructs us on how to keep the fifth commandment, specifically as adult children relating to aging parents. So turn with me in Matthew chapter 15. I want to read this passage aloud for us again. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Here we have a dispute between the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees are rebuking Jesus and his disciples because they're not following these extra biblical man-made laws concerning hand washing. And here is Jesus' response. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father? So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Here, what is going on here in this passage? Again, after the Pharisees try to rebuke Jesus and his disciples for not following man-made laws, Jesus responds to them by rebuking them for breaking God's law and specifically the fifth commandment. Jesus quotes the fifth commandment in this passage and says, why do you break God's law, break the fifth commandment for sake of your tradition? Meaning they were breaking the fifth commandment, God's holy law, so that they could follow a man-made tradition. Right? They're putting the man-made tradition over God's law. Now, what was this man-made tradition? Well, this man-made tradition was a loophole of sorts to get out of taking care of your parents when they age. That's pretty much what it is. The loophole was this. It was if you dedicated your money to God, which in the Gospel of Mark they call that Corban, if you dedicate your money to God, then that money can't be touched for any other reason than for God. So what the Pharisees would do is they would dedicate all their money to God. And by dedicating all their money to God, when their aging parents are in need of help, financial or physical help, and they ask the Pharisee or Sadducee, adult child, the Pharisee would respond this way. Oh, well, mother and father, I would love to help you, but I've already dedicated all my money to God. I can't touch it. It's already dedicated to God. So I have the money, but I really don't have the money to give to you because I've dedicated it towards God. However, here's the deal. Their money was still in their charge. It was still in their bank account. They could do as they wish. However, they found a respectable way to break the fifth commandment. That's exactly what they are doing. They're finding a respectful way to break God's holy law. And beware of this, church. Because what the Pharisees were doing, that whole dedicating it to God, all your money, the topic of Corban, I mean, that's just some man-made tradition that they just found out that you could do so that you wouldn't be required to give to your parents, to help with your parents. And beware of this, church. Now, we know there are flagrant ways to break God's law that are really clear, explicit. But then there are also ways in which we can break God's law, but we can justify ourselves or even incorporate a sin or loophole to sin in our religious traditions. And that just shows how sinful we are, as man to do that. We can taint the worship of God by making sin a part of his tradition, by building sin into the tradition itself. And this is what happens when the church does not follow God's law. If Heritage Baptist Church didn't follow God's law, do you know what that would mean? It wouldn't mean that we would live as if there were no law. We would just take another law and put it there. You know, that's what we would do. If we got rid of the fifth commandment or got rid of whatever God's law that a church didn't like, which many churches do, you take God's law out and you just insert another man-made law. Because you have to live with law and with order. So you just bring in another law. You substitute it for a lesser one. So if we discard God's law, we will substitute it with man-made laws. And instead of trying to invent our own laws and keep up with the new cultural laws of our day, just focus on God's law. Just focus on knowing God's law and applying God's law and obeying God's law. It's pretty simple. There's 10 commandments, right? You don't need rocket science to know all the things about what God expects of His people, Heritage Baptist Church. We have His word. We have His commands. Our church does not have to keep up with all the things going on in the culture and what the new cultural laws are. All we need to be focused and concerned about is God's law. Because you know what happens with cultural laws? They change. In America, they're changing like every year. You can say one thing last year, you can't say it this year. It's a new cultural law. But you know what? God's law, guess what? It never changes. The fifth commandment's never changed. It's been the fifth command. It's been a part of God's holy, moral, enduring law since the very beginning. It's never changed. It's the fifth commandment. But here the Pharisees are trying to appear godly, but in fact were breaking the fifth commandment. They were trying to appear godly when they broke the fifth commandment. Now, how were they breaking the fifth commandment, you may ask? For Jesus teaches that one way to honor your parents, one way to keep the fifth commandment, is to provide for your aging parents physically and financially. That's the implication here. Think of it this way. Just like how it's the parents' job to care for their children when they are young, to provide for them physically and financially, similarly, adult children are to care for their aging parents if they are in need physically and financially. Right? Just like how we would rebuke, as a church, we would rebuke a parent if they did not take care of the necessities of a young child. Right? If a parent did not feed their child or do the basic necessities of their child, we would say they're not keeping the fifth. They're not parenting their child in a godly way. Similarly, if we must rebuke those who do not take care of their aging parents when they are in need, or at least not overseeing it. Now again, don't just hear me out on this. Look at Jesus' rebuke here to the Pharisees for doing just that. What does he call them in this passage? You hypocrites. Hypocrites. That's strong language. He's saying this to the religious leaders. And then he says this. He says, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you? And then he quotes Isaiah. And the quote from Isaiah is this. He says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That is strong language by the Lord Jesus. He just rebuked the Pharisees for breaking the fifth commandment by not taking care of their aging parents. He calls them hypocrites because they say on one hand they love their parents, but then on the other hand they don't. They don't honor them by taking care of them. He says you honor, and then what's interesting here, he says they seek to honor God with their lips, but not with their hearts. He says their worship is in vain. And this is all because of them breaking the fifth commandment. So Jesus takes serious God's whole. He takes serious the law of God, and so should we, and the fifth commandment and its application. Now, one thing I want to note here in this Matthew 15 passage is, notice something that Jesus says here. And it's really important as we consider God's law, and specifically the fifth commandment. Jesus says they are not honoring in the prophecy in Isaiah. Who are they not honoring? God. He doesn't say they're not honoring the parents. He says you're not honoring God. When they broke the fifth commandment, he says you are not honoring God. That was his rebuke. However, their sin was not honoring their parents. Did Jesus misspeak? No, Jesus never misspeaks. Right? Every word that comes from his mouth is the word of God, for he is God. What is Jesus saying here? He's equating honoring your parents with honoring God. Jesus is making that equation. If you think that sounds a little too much, talk to Jesus about it. He's saying, if you do not honor your parents, It means you do not honor God. Is that clear? It's really an important one to look at. It's really and if you look at the fifth command, I mean, I know I mentioned this in the previous sermon, but I don't know if I can mention it enough. It really is a hinge command between the first and second table, right? The first table of God's law is to honor God and to love Him. The second table is to love your neighbor. Here Jesus says, if you don't honor your parents, you don't honor me. You don't honor me in your heart. And He's speaking to grown adults with aging parents. That's who He's speaking to. He's not speaking to little kids. He's speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees. And He's getting on to them for not keeping the fifth commandment. This isn't just for little children, the fifth commandment. So the scriptures are clear. Jesus is clear. You honor your parents by caring for them in their old age. Now, what does that look like? That looks different for different people. It doesn't mean you have to be right there, but you're overseeing that they are being taken care of. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, church. Don't try to create any loophole to not take care of your parents. Don't start trying to think of loopholes to avoid this. If your aging parents are in need and you do not help them, you're in sin. You may say, well, that's rather harsh and flexible. Well, let me read you what God says in His Word through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. This is what Paul says, inspired by God. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay? Now again, don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger. Right? If you don't care for your aging parents when they're in need, then you have practically denied the faith and should be treated worse than an unbeliever. I mean, that's the Bible. That's Jesus. That's Paul. I mean, that's all Scripture. That's God's inspired Word right there. Now you may ask, why such strong language? I mean, the fifth commandment, caring for aging parents, why such strong language here? Jesus saying they're hypocrites, they're dishonoring God by doing so. Paul saying you should be treated worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because God's holy law is to be revered. That's why. But also because the fifth commandment, again, is foundational to the practical outworking of God's love in our hearts. Again, this is the first test, so to speak, of our heart. One way you can ask yourself, a good way to do a heart inspection of yourself, of your spiritual state, is this question. Do you honor your parents? I mean, really, I think that question gets right to where you're at spiritually. That one question, do you honor your parents? You want to know whether or not you honor God in your heart? How do you treat your parents? How do you treat them? If you do not honor them, if you treat them with disdain and disrespect, then the Bible is clear that you should inspect yourself whether or not you're in Christ. It's that serious. It's that connected. To honor God is to honor your parents, as Jesus said. Now, I know I haven't covered every single situation. I mean, there's so many situations that godly biblical wisdom are needed in. However, what I sought to do is just teach the principle of this fifth command and just showing how it applies to these different stages, from dependent children and their parents to independent adult children and their parents to adult children and their aging parents. And there's a lot here. But I want to make one last application of this command. This is to another stage of life. And that's to the passing of one's parent. If you're a child and one or both of your parents have passed, you may be wondering to yourself, how does this command apply to me? My parents are passed away. Do I still have to keep the fifth commandment? Again, that's the right question to ask. Because the fifth commandment does apply to you today. If you've lost both of your parents, it still applies to you. One of those points of application is you are called to honor your father and mother even after their passing. Right? You honor their name after their death. Now, what do I mean by that? You honor your parents by honoring them in your speech after they've passed. Now, again, how do you do this? Well, in addition to everything we've already said in honoring your parents with your speech, I would add one way you can honor your parents who have passed is to keep their name and legacy alive in your speech to those around you. Right? One way you honor their legacy is to speak of them firstly. Right? You can honor them in your speech If you never talk about them after they've passed, then it's hard to really honor them in your speech if you never talk about them. Do not avoid talking about your parents, right? If they've passed. Do not avoid talking about them with your friends, loved ones, children. Honor them. Honor them in their death by speaking of the things you admired about them in their life and to others. Now again, as one who has lost a parent, I mean, I consider it a blessing to pass down my father's legacy to others, including my children. Though they've never met their grandfather, I can still honor him in the way I speak about him and commend his qualities and fun stories or whatever the case to them. Now, I want to conclude by thinking of the Lord Jesus this way. In the Gospel of John, we're given this beautiful account of something Jesus does while he's on the cross. This is in John chapter 19. Turn with me to John chapter 19. It's one of the sayings of Jesus on the cross that gets avoided. You don't hear about it that much. Verses 25 through 27. After Jesus has been beaten, mocked, spat on, and even nailed to the cross, we're told this. Beginning in verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Did you catch that? I mean, I love this. Even in his death, while on the cross, as he's taking that cup of wrath we looked at this morning that he's been trembling about, as he's taking the sins of all his people, including the sins of his parents, he's taking on the cross, Jesus looks down from the cross, tells the apostle John to take care of his mother. And John took Mary and took care of her and took her in his home for the rest of their lives. I mean, Jesus on the cross, dying, exemplified and kept the fifth commandment. He was concerned for the well-being of his mother, even in his death when he wouldn't be around. He said, "I know I'm not going to be around, so I want to make sure I take care of my mother even when I'm not around to let her know that John will take care of her, that I've already made the arrangements." Here, Jesus, again, exemplifying and keeping the fifth commandment perfectly, even unto death. So if you have any excuse not to take care of your parents, Pharisees just came up with random reasons of dedicating money to God and just calling it, labeling it something else so they wouldn't have to do it. Jesus made no excuses. He's dying on the cross for the sins of his people, and he still takes care of his mother as she's aging. That's a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus who kept God's law perfectly. He died in our place for all of our sins, including when we break the fifth commandment. I'm just thankful for the Lord Jesus who kept God's law perfectly and died for us. So all glory to the Lamb. Let's close in prayer.